Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Richland Center, Wisconsin. Our news update at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. We're at 70 degrees. The time is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 31 construction workers inside a huge industrial tunnel in Los Angeles made it to safety overnight after a portion of the tunnel collapsed while they were 6 miles underground. All got out with only minor injuries. In Central Texas, the search goes on for 170 people said to be missing from the floods.
Volunteers from all over the country combing through the aftermath. We saw this rescue team from Florida.
This is a close look at what these rescue teams are dealing with. The dog picked up a scent down here, but there's so much debris and mud piled up. Right now, these teams are using chainsaws to cut through some downed trees. They're trying to dig through hopes of finding a person.
That's ABC's Trevor Ault in Kerrville, Texas. Secretary of State Marco Rubio at a forum in Malaysia says he echoes what President Trump has said, that he is both frustrated and disappointed that further progress hasn't been made on ending the war in Ukraine with further drone and missile strikes overnight. This is ABC News. The woman found guilty of stowing away last year on a flight bound for Paris could be freed soon. ABC's Michelle Franzen says it comes ahead of her sentencing.
In a court memo filed by federal prosecutors in Brooklyn and in agreement with the defense, prosecutors said Svetlana Dali's 7 months in jail while her trial played out was sufficient as time served. Dali is shown on video in November of last year of bypassing security without a ticket and boarding the plane, hiding out in the lavatory. A flight attendant noticed and asked for her name and boarding pass. After providing several fake names, Dali was detained. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The Philadelphia city worker strike is now over. 9,000 workers going back to work. Samsung has unfolded its latest lineup of phones, introducing several new devices in its Z series. The Z Fold 7 will cost you a lot of money. Prices begin at about $2,000. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same, and that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or carry out.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high today of 83 with a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. Southeast winds at 5 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Locally, very heavy rainfall possible and a low of 67. Friday, variable clouds, warm and humid. A 50% chance of a few showers or thunderstorms. A high of 86. Friday night, muggy, scattered showers or thunderstorms possible. A low of 67. And Saturday, patchy sunshine, otherwise still humid with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, ending later in the day. Sunday, 83. It'll be a nice summer day with lower humidity.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we believe great service goes beyond transactions. It's about making a real impact. Whether it's a helping hand, expert advice, or going the extra mile, we're here to serve you with an authentic dedication. Personalized attention, reliable support, and a commitment to a thriving community are our core values. We provide more than just coverage, we provide confidence. Having insurance is not the same as having State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At U.S. Cellular, we created an event called Us Days to celebrate our customers, like Tina here.
Yeah, it feels like a massive fireworks display just for me.
Uh-huh, and the grand finale is we're giving all customers a free phone with no trade-in.
What?
I said...
Celebrate Us Days at U.S. Cellular.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
What he said was, all customers get a free phone with no trade-in. Us Days is back. Going on now at U.S. Cellular in Richland Center, Spring Green, and Viroqua.
Get your dirt work done right with Mueller & Sons Excavating. From drainage ditches to ATV trails, commercial sites to driveways, and residential areas to land clearing, we've got you covered. Now serving Ithaca, call us at 608-415-7528 and schedule your project today at Mueller & Sons Excavating.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Welcome to our morning show today from WRCO. Today, another really exciting show as we do a follow-up. This is part two of our talk about The Anxious Generation, a book that is out. A lot of people in the community have been reading it and are reading it. What Every Parent Needs to Know. And in the studio with us today from the Richland School District, Sonia Clarkson and Barb Olson, along with school psychologist Maggie May, and Betsy Raisler is here from Partners for Prevention. Betsy, you're kind of the ringleader of this, so we'll talk to you first. But why do you think conversations like this are important?
Thank you, Phil, for having us today. Our coalition is focused on two primary goals: increasing community collaboration to reduce youth substance use. So we're through this effort trying to foster healthy youth, and that would include anything that impacts their lives. And this is a important topic, and we want to make people aware of what they can do.
You've been here before talking about substance abuse and those kind of things. Are the two sometimes tied together?
Mental health, it relates to healthy child physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So certainly anything that would be impacting their mental health would align with work on reducing youth substance use.
It's kind of timely as well. The Richland School District is coming up for a vote on the possibility of some limits on cell phones next week, correct?
Yes, and I'm so happy that the principals were here last week to talk more about that policy. Today we're here to talk mainly about what's in the book, and so we'll go with that.
When did you first become aware of the book?
I think it was about a year ago. I knew that people were beginning to read the book and share the book, so I purchased it and started to read it, and I actually haven't finished it. I like to skim and see what's in there. It's a really heavy book and takes time and focus to read it, so I'll get to it, but I knew that lots of people were starting to read it, and his four reforms are really, they make a lot of sense to me. And so I hope that we can have more people read the book, understand some of the harms that go along with excessive cell phone use. And so it certainly is very important to the work we're doing to foster healthy youth.
The talk last week with Dr. Andrew Wright, he just really painted a picture of this book. I thought it went really well. What was your take from that interview?
He did an excellent job as a clinician, professional, medical doctor. To share his perspective on it was really important. I hope a lot of people will, if they haven't listened to his presentation, go back and listen to the recording.
You assembled another group to come in today. Why did you choose these ladies?
Just to have a variety of people working with, especially those that are very familiar with what's going on with today's youth. And so that's why they were chosen. And they each have a unique perspective. They've seen a lot and worked with kids for years. And so they can see the changes. And and they have their own children. Mm-hmm. And are practicing things in their own home. So I'm so excited to hear what they have to say.
Barb, we'll start with you. What do you do with the Richland School District?
I am a high school social studies teacher at the Richland School District.
Okay.
I've been in public education for 30 years and had my own classroom for the last 27. And when I first heard about the Anxious Generation book about a year ago, the buzz really started popping up in podcasts that I listen to frequently. So like Betsy, I thought, hey, you know, I need to know what this is all about. I bought a copy and I read it. And, you know, I think that it's a pivotal book right now because people are ready and it's really sparking important conversations about the impact of smartphone usage and social media on our teens and really, you know, promoting a lot of different perspectives. And so whether or not you agree with everything in the book, I think that the importance of it is that it's sparking these conversations that we need to have about our children and our teens, especially.
Sonia, what about you? Your role at the Richland Center High School, right?
Correct. I'm a high school English teacher at Richland Center. And my first hearing about the book has been from Barb. Barb talked about it, and she and I have done book studies before with the high school and, well, with all of Richland Center School District, and we were talking about books that we could possibly use. And she had mentioned The Anxious Generation, and she's talked a lot about podcasts that she's listened to as well. And so that's how I started hearing about the book and read it.
Mm-hmm. Among the staff, have, you know, you're kind of exchanging the book among the staff members?
There are a number of staff members who have read it, but we are talking about doing a book study with more staff members who are maybe would be interested in it.
And Maggie, your role with the district.
Yeah, so I work in the Richland School District with alternative education students. So I serve as a teacher in that capacity. And then I also work in the area as a contracted school psychologist in several of our smaller local school districts. So I kind of have the more psychologist perspective. And then I see the teacher end of things, too, with the alternative ed programs that I work with.
Are the trends similar with the different size schools? Does that make a difference? Is it all pretty much the same?
I would say where this topic is concerned, the trends are very similar. I'm kind of seeing the same thing across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What trends are you seeing, Sonia, typically?
Well, some of the trends we're worried about are things like depression with kids because of the cell phone uses, other technology as well. And we are worried about that because what happens when kids are depressed and wanting to be able to help them be more resilient.
Mm-hmm. Barb, you've been in education, you mentioned 30 years too. When did you see it kind of changing?
I didn't really understand when it was changing, but around that 2010 to 2015 time period, and Height in his book, and Andy covered this really well too, is that seems to correlate with the changing of technological devices, that, you know, it was this merging of the smartphone coming out with that front-facing camera, and then pairing with social media. And that really is when I started to notice that change in my own children. You know, I noticed a change from my childhood and in students in school. and that as more and more students or children are owning those smartphones, okay, that change really becomes more obvious. And when we have 95% of teens owning a smartphone today, and I just heard a statistic yesterday in a podcast that I listened to, that 40% of two-year-olds have an iPad that is dedicated to them to use. And so, you know, that development of that technology and how we're allowing our kids to use that technology around that 2010 time period is where I started to see that shift.
Let me ask you this. Was it easier to teach before cell phones and smartphones?
In some ways, yes. I think what we're all seeing for years with that shift, we've saw some anecdotal evidence in that how our students were learning in the classroom was changing. And in the podcast, I listened to Height's podcast with Oprah, and he said that he really did focus on anxiety and depression while writing the book, but in having these conversations that he's really found that the device and the social media really is impacting our kids' ability to attend and focus, which, you know, as Maggie and Sonia could probably attest to, is a real struggle in the classroom today. The students' attention span is short because of the short reels and the constant scrolling. Okay, and Maggie can talk about the dopamine reward cycle, that it really has impacted how our students learn.
Maggie, would you like to comment on that?
No, I mean, yes, I will comment on that. I completely agree with everything Barb observes. I think some of those other, you know, the attention piece is huge. And I think one of the sort of mediating factors that's leading to that, in addition to the scrolling and the reward system that we can get into a little bit as well, is sleep deprivation. And I think that gets, I really, from my observations over time, the changes that I've seen, especially when I'm doing evaluations of students who are struggling in school, is that sleep deprivation, we know, has very well documented impacts on attention, depression, anxiety, irritability, memory. And so, you know, being able to retain information, all of those, I think, are impacted. And I think the channel for that, where smartphones are concerned, is often sleep deprivation, because having access to these devices both impacts our sleep-wake cycles and also just is a real-time socket that makes it hard to go to sleep at night, especially for kiddos whose brains are still developing. So I think that's sort of an underappreciated harm sometimes of frequent use of screens.
How much sleep time should the young ones have, Maggie?
Well, it varies over the age span, but more than most people think. So young children should have between 10 and 12 hours of sleep, really through elementary school. Middle schoolers, we are looking towards that 8 to 10, and really that remains the case through high school. And there are many other challenges to getting sleep for our students, you know, with schedules and things like that. I don't want to say that this is the only thing, but generally developing kids through adolescence need more sleep than they're getting. And certainly that has reduced since the introduction of smartphones. But 10 to 12 hours for those elementary kiddos.
Wow. And we talked with Dr. Wright about this as well. But those of us as adults need to kind of follow that.
Absolutely.
As well. It's hard to go to sleep sometimes if you've been screening, right?
It sure is. And these, you know, there's a couple different reasons that that's true. One is that blue light from the screens. And I think Dr. Wright might have mentioned that, you know, exposure to blue light, especially in that hour before, you know, you would want to be going to sleep, can disrupt your production of melatonin. So melatonin is what signals our brain to makes us feel sleepy and signals our brain that it's time for sleep. And then additionally, it's just, you know, it's rewarding, it's stimulating, and so it's hard to stop. And so I think we've all had that experience where we're scrolling and it's like a time warp, you know, all of a sudden an hour has passed and you don't even realize it. So there's a couple different factors at play disrupting our sleep when we're using screens, especially in the evening.
Sonia, Barb talked about it too, but attention spans in classrooms, is that something that you've seen decline?
Yes, and one thing is because when the kids do have phones, it's interesting, the notifications. So even if I have the kids put their phones in the phone box, those boxes are buzzing constantly, or they have it hooked up to a watch that's buzzing constantly, and it's like they have all of their social media hooked up to notifications, and then they're like, oh, I have to check this, or so-and-so is calling me, I need to answer this right now, and so they can't put the phones away even if they're not on them. So I think that the notifications also hurt with their time, like hurt being able to concentrate.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that maybe it rewards them if they're hearing that. It's like it's almost like a popularity contest, like, right? You
or know? If a kid's sitting someplace and they have their phone, it's amazing to me how many times the notifications are just a constant buzz. Snapchat notifications or other social media, it's a dopamine thing there as well, too. Constant.
A teacher told me years ago that, you know, if a student's having a bad day or an episode, it's important to make eye contact. Is it harder to make eye contact with students these days when they're always looking at something?
Probably. I mean, because it's not just, because for the most part, in my classroom, the kids are pretty good about putting phones in the box or away. I don't see them. But then they do have their Chromebook screen. So it's more than just that smartphone, and the smartphone is definitely an issue. But we have so many other screens and online platforms that are also very distracting. And I oftentimes, like, close the Chromebooks, look at me. Like, I have to remind the kids every day, close Chromebooks, look at me, before I start with directions.
Mm-hmm. We don't write on the chalkboard so much anymore, do we?
Not so much. A lot of times we have a screen. We have the big screen. We have the smart board that they're looking at. So it's another screen sometimes.
One of the things, too, we wanted to ask you about, and I think Dr. Wright touched on this, too, about differences in gender. Do you see it typically more with girls than boys or vice versa?
Well, in the book, Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt actually talks a lot about the great rewiring of childhood and has a couple of chapters that specifically talk about how social media harms girls more than boys, and then has another chapter about what's happening with boys as far as technology. The girls, it talks a lot about the studies of heavy users of social media have higher rates of depression. And then it goes also into the fact that if people have been assigned to reduce or eliminate social media for a few weeks, they actually have an improvement in their mental health. And it talks about girls as far as visual comparisons. Girls tend to be a little bit more concerned about that. It also talks about the aggressive attempts at harm of relationships of other girls. But I have seen this with boys, too. So it's not just girls. He just talks about it tends to be more with girls. And then also one of the big concerns that they have with girls is that the internet's made it easier for men to approach and stalk girls without having any kind of accountability themselves. And then with boys, there's an interesting, it talks about the fact that boys have been depressed and anxious since the early 2010s in many countries, not just in the United States. In fact, he talks a lot about the failure to launch among boys because boys like the online gaming. And that failure to launch, it's interesting, they have a term for it in Japanese for the men who actually just don't leave home. They can work online, they have other video games, they get on other online platforms, and they literally just stay at home. And so that's a concern that he talks about a lot too. And again, it's not just boys, some girls, but it tends to be more of a boy thing, the online video gaming. And one of just something that I've observed is that boys will watch video games if they can't have video games. So you have to really watch when you have a classroom of 20 to 30 kids what they're doing on their Chromebooks. And sometimes they'll have a tab where they're actually just watching other people video game. and on their phones too. So if they don't have, you know, if they're not at home and don't have video games, they can watch. They can go to YouTube and watch other people play video games.
That's so hard to relate to for somebody of my generation. Yeah. I just can't understand what the excitement for that would be, but I guess to each their own.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Sonia talked a little bit about the gender difference. Maggie, I'm curious about, you know, back in the day, girls would look at models, you know, and think about this is the body I should have or whatever. Guys would do that, too. Is that a concern as well with social media now and those kind of things?
Yeah, I think it's just amplified access to that social comparison that girls are more wired for in general. Mm-hmm. So before, you know, there would be one magazine, you know, a group of magazines, you would get to the end of the magazine, you put it away. There's no end to the social comparison available on social media. We've had unrealistic images of bodies through airbrushing, you know, that was sort of the pre-filter era. But now it's just, like I said, the volume is just increased with social media and filters. You can make yourself look any way you want with this technology. So I think that pressure is just more constant. It's always with you. You can have it going 24/7 if you're scrolling. And so I don't think it's really changed. It's just amplified.
Mm-hmm. Barb, would you like to comment on anything we've talked about on this side of the room?
A couple of comments, I guess, is while exploring this topic, like Sonia brought up the notifications, and I found a lot of psychologists and educational experts are talking about those notifications should be called interruptions. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and Andy touched on this, these tech companies are not caring about our children. Their goal is to get adults and children alike to engage and pick up with their phone because their customer are the advertisers. And the more pickups, okay, the more times our students and ourselves pick up that phone to look at that notification, it increases their revenue. And so really shifting that mindset, I'm not being notified of something important, I think was key for me, that it's an interruption to my life. It's disrupting what I'm doing, you know, at that point with that. So that's something that, you know, I thought was interesting, is just that shift in verbiage. And then with Maggie, I totally agree. I often think of, and I hope I'm not being too, you know, like negative Nelly or doomsday, but I like that social comparison's always been there. And it's, you know, amplified. And it's that quote that sticks with me is, comparison is a thief of joy. And that's really, you know, I think from older people that are on Facebook, you look at what's happening, other people in their lives, and you're like, oh, we didn't do this or didn't do that. And, you know, we struggle with these spaces, and then we're putting our children into these spaces and having these and expecting them to navigate them when we as adults sometimes have trouble doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we as adults have to kind of watch what we do, right? If we want them to, you know,
right,
comply too.
And we know in classrooms and working and being parents that teenagers are on hypocrisy like that. You know, they are pointing out, you know, you're telling me to put my phone away a half hour before bed. How come you're sitting there scrolling, you know, right up until you go to bed? You know, you're telling me when I'm driving, I shouldn't answer a call or do this or do that, but I see you glance at your phone, you know. So as adults, you know, modeling that behavior, like in the classroom, we don't ask students to do an activity without giving directions or modeling, you know, what we would like them to do. And, you know, like for socialization, I see that, you know, ask the eye contact. Maybe not eye contact so much, but that socialization, we have to intentionally teach that these days, where I didn't have to teach it so much 20 years ago. And that really dawned on me a couple of years ago. I asked students, you know, to do a group activity at the beginning of the year. And I'd be like, okay, who was in your group? And a student's like, well, she was, but I don't know her name. And I'm like, you worked in 30 minutes in this group and you didn't know your name. So I had to back up and intentionally teach the steps. This is how you introduce yourself to someone. Okay. Group work isn't you just sit next to someone working on the same activity. You like discuss and talk. And these are sentence stems that you can use to discuss. And I think that's something that really, you know, was a light that popped on for me in the classroom.
Interesting conversation. The generation is here to stay. We have to talk about ways to, you know, go about it and move on from here and turn it into a positive. We'll talk about that when we continue on the morning show. The book is The Anxious Generation. And in the studio today with us, Betsy Raisler, Sonia Clarkson, Barb Olson, and Maggie May. And we'll have more in a moment.
We're in the final week of the Summer Savings event at Town & Country TV and Appliance. Great markdowns, closeouts, and rebates on all televisions and appliances. Sale ends Friday, July 11th, so stop by soon or visit us online at townandcountryrc.com.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Ever wonder what O'Cooch comes from? It comes from the O'Cooch Mountains, and we think it was put in there by Meriwether Lewis back in the 1833 Northwest Territories map. O'Cooch Mountains, right up there where Mount Tabor is in Richland County. You can go and check it out for yourself. But O'Cooch Books and Libations, named for the Native American tribe that was in the area back in the day when my family came here. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary, just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Attention Richland Center. Rockwell Automation is hiring second shift positions starting at over $24 an hour. What makes Rockwell different? 6 weeks of paid time off your first year, a $2,500 sign-on bonus, and benefits that start day one, not after 90 days. We offer a clean working environment, overtime opportunities, 401k with company match, and real paths for advancement. Rockwell Automation has been part of this community since 1971, and we're growing again. Visit rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center, or stop by any Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you.
Welcome back to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We're talking about the book, The Anxious Generation, with our local panel. Maggie May, maybe you could outline the four reforms as we move forward here on the Morning Show.
Sure. So in Anxious Generation, Haidt lays out four very specific reforms that he thinks we could coalesce around as a community of people concerned about this. So one of them is no smartphones before high school. And, you know, we talked about this as a group. Many of us have already, that ship has sailed. Our kids already had smartphones before high school. So what we really want to highlight is not to, that we shouldn't feel bad about that or feel guilt or shame or put that on anyone else who hasn't made that choice. Just find other ways to sort of limit smartphone harms to kids if those age recommendations have already been different for kiddos. No social media before 16. Again, I would sort of couch that with a lot of our kids have already experienced social media before that age, so we can get a little bit more granular into how to protect them and put in some guardrails for those platforms. Phone-free schools is another one that he highlights in the book. And then this one, which I think is really very important, is more independence and free play and responsibility in the real world. And I think when we think about the limitations of time, this raising up more free play and independence is going to put in place more breaks from phones, because you can't be doing both at the same time. And so if we really lift that up as an important value, we're going to find ways to put those guardrails around the phones and screens in place for kids.
As a school psychologist, you see that, I'm sure, you know, more important to get out and have free play on the playgrounds and things like that and take a break.
Absolutely. And it's this, I actually read his first book, which Dr. Wright referred to The Coddling of the American Mind, which is really where he highlighted this tremendously, this importance of developing agency by taking risks in the real world. We can all think of those times when we sort of face planted out there in the real world. He gives the example of a teenager asking someone out for the first time. Maybe they get rejected in person, and it really stinks in that moment, but they learn that they can survive that, and they learn how to approach people and be comfortable with that moving forward. Similarly, some of those physical risks that we often try to protect kids from are really important for developing body awareness, for developing our sense of risk-taking, for developing our sense of capability. And when you don't have a sense of agency because you haven't experienced real successes and failures, you are more prone to anxiety and depression. So that independence and free play and learning how to negotiate in the real world in these social situations that we've protected kids from, sort of separate from phone use, are really important for being mitigating factors for these things that we worry about with excessive screen use.
Brought up something I hadn't thought about, but asking someone out, that's probably not the traditional way that I knew that. And I've heard of couples even breaking up, you know, texting. You know, I mean, that's, to me, ludicrous, but I'm
right.
Guessing it happens.
Yeah, and you know, I think we see with our students these sort of, I would maybe call them pseudo-relationships online, where they're, it's just very low risk. They're chatting online. They might not even know that much about the person, where they live, their name. And it feels like a relationship, and it sort of scratches that itch, but it doesn't really teach the important life skills that are involved for real communication and real life being in community with somebody. And so we do need to make sure that we're providing opportunities for students and kids to to interact in the real world, to learn those skills.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, Sonia, it's kind of scary stuff though out there, and we hear about stories all the time. You know, even here in the state, we've heard about that this year, about, you know, bad stories where, you know, an older person was stalking a younger person.
Right? Correct. And that's one of the things I had hit on earlier too, is just that sometimes they do kind of know the people they're talking to. They might have met them someplace briefly, and they have an idea that that is a real person. But a lot of times we don't even know. Like, the kids could be developing a relationship with somebody who they shouldn't be, because they don't ever see that person, and they're misrepresented on the social media with pictures and different things. So the kids don't even understand and realize that sometimes that person that they think they're having a relationship with is not the person that they thought they were.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to quiz you too, as far as you know, what can be done, you know, moving forward. You know, you as a teacher and educator.
And that's some of the things that are coming into play in the high school. We're talking about the cell phone ban during the school day, but it also, parents need to be aware of what's going on with their kids. And sometimes kids are doing things that the parents aren't aware of. So really taking that that idea, even my own children who are adults now have come back and talked about things that they did that I didn't know. And I thought that I knew, you know, I was looking at their phones, or I had apps that would shut their phones off. I always think too, like, COVID was a pivotal moment in my own life with children. Is before that, they didn't have phones at night. They'd be, you know, charged in the kitchen, no televisions in their bedrooms. And because they couldn't have that real world contact with their friends, I really released them probably faster than I would have. And I wish, you know, that's one of those things you always wish you could bring back, but you can't. So they have turned into okay adults, but it's that tough addiction that it's hard to overcome.
Right. COVID, that's one of the things we learned. Yeah. Hopefully we've learned some things we can spin that into a positive too.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Barb, anything you wanted to add?
I think something that I wanted to add, as educators, we really need to be teaching these social media literacy skills. Something that I have noticed throughout the years, and I'm sure you have with your own children and students, is especially with the invention of AI, we really don't know who we're talking to, because AI can create a profile and a picture of someone that looks totally different than the individual they are, and can create situations, videos that look real, but they aren't. And so our students may come across something like that was created by AI and be like, hey, look what this is happening. And it informs their decisions and their thinking, but it's not real. And so at times I have trouble deciphering, is this AI or not? And really, you know, teaching them, you have to fact check that one source is not, it's not good enough, you know, increasing those media literacy skills.
Yeah, something you talked about earlier was about being genuine, that kids can pick that up
right
from you as a teacher, but like with AI, it's a lot tougher, isn't it?
It is. It is. With AI, and like Maggie and Sonia said, and the question you asked, these platforms are constantly pushing our children and our students to come in contact with people they don't know. They've got that, hey, you might know these people, or this might be a good match for you, connect with them, and developing, you know, relationships with them that, you know, seem real to them. But can you have a real relationship with someone that you don't know, that you've only talked to over texting or a chatting or app?
New school year will get underway in a little while, so maybe we can start to develop some new habits and trends, right?
Right. I know I'm really excited about hopefully this policy passing, and I know the principals touched on a couple of years ago when our internet access went down and the change we saw in the halls. People were talking, they weren't walking down, because our policy is you could use the phone between classes and at lunch, but you walk down the hall and students, you know, it's different from when we were in school. Mm-hmm. We were talking, they were walking on their phone at lunch. They were sitting at tables next to each other, but not really conversing because they were on their phones. And at pep assemblies or pep rallies, or I think you had mentioned that key play in a game that students were missing. Just having them more engaged in the physical world around them with the people around them, I'm really excited to see.
Do you hope that people will pick up the book and read it?
Yes, I do. Like it's mentioned, it's a heavier read. It's academic. Jonathan Haidt really, you know, backs up his conclusions and claims with statistics. But I am hoping that with hearing these two morning shows that people get interested and pick it up, because at the very minimum, it makes you think. Think about the topic and what's happening and how we can change and make the world a better place.
Indeed. Sonia, what about takeaways from the book for you?
Just a lot of, we need to make some reforms. I liked that Maggie talked about the reforms that he mentions. And if we can make some changes with our kids, it will be good for the future. And one thing that Barb and I have been talking about a little bit, some of it's coming from the book, but just from other sources too, is the idea of empathy, and that kids have lost a little bit of empathy, partly because they can play with each other on social media, or they can do things on social media that they wouldn't do face to face. And because of that, there is that loss of empathy. I'm also going to say I'm an English teacher, and there's a lot of data that talks about reading fiction and reading stories helps create empathy also. And there's a lot of data that's showing that we're losing that because kids aren't reading as much because they're spending their time on social media. So I'd really like to, you know, bring it back to, let's put the phones away, and like times that maybe students would be using their phones in class, we can say, read a book. But that's me. I'm the English teacher. But it also, that empathy that's lost because they're not really talking to each other.
As an English teacher, is it tough to, you know, kids can plagiarize probably easier than
correct.
We used to, AI, right?
I'm really been thinking a lot this summer about what I can do, and a lot more pen and paper. Like, it's kind of interesting that we did pen and paper, we've moved to Chromebooks, and now we're back to, well, you have to like write a rough draft physically before you type it up so that I can see that it is your thoughts a little bit more. A lot of in-class work, you can't do this outside of class because, you know, as soon as they get outside of class, they'll use AI. And they'll brag about it, too. Oh, I didn't write that speech. I had AI. I'm like, I can tell because, you know, you used words that I know that you don't know what they mean. So it is, and it is hard, just like it's hard for the kids to determine sometimes what is true. It's also hard for us sometimes to, okay, you know, like, now is this really their work? So we have to come up with ways to combat it too, constantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure fact checking for a social studies paper too, you know, it's there are a lot of different sources online, not always accurate, right,
and that's an important time consuming aspect, is when kids are researching, starting with providing them like vetted resources that they can use. But when they're out on the web on their own, you know, finding those credible sources and talking through that is an important part of what I do these days.
Maggie, what about your main takeaway from the book, The Anxious Generation?
You know, I think something that I really loved that he emphasized is the importance of collective action. I think limit setting is a lot to ask for any single individual when we are up against, you know, technology companies that are expertly using brain research to keep our eyes hooked to these devices. It's too much to ask one parent to figure it out for themselves, to ask one teacher in their classroom to figure this out. So this idea of collective action makes me feel supported. It makes me feel hopeful. It makes me feel that if we can kind of agree as a society that we need to have some guardrails to protect kids, then we can work together to put those in place in a way that doesn't put everything on individuals and particularly individual parents. I think that's just too much to ask in the face of this huge sweeping change that has come very quickly. And so when we know better, we do better. I know, you know, my two kids are 2 years apart, and I've done things differently with the second with regards to screens than I did with the first, because I learned things by observation and, you know, learning new information and research that was coming out. And so really, we just need to work together to benefit our kids. I know there's some local communities of teens and tweens, but and kids who are a little bit younger who are trying to bring back landlines. So their kids, you know, groups of parents, 10 families who are getting landlines so that they can all agree that their kids can chat that way, or different text only kind of phone options. So I think just that idea of working together was a big takeaway that I had from the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bottom line is the technology is here to stay. We have to embrace it and find ways to live with it, right?
That's right. And there are some good things about it. You know, that's a conversation for a whole nother morning show. But just being mindful that together we can kind of put those safety measures in place.
Right. One of the things I always say is it's a lost art of being able to look somebody in the eye, you know, and I think that's one of the things when a student does that, when I have interactions with high school kids, I'm always impressed. It's like, wow, all right, you know.
So, yeah, it's true.
So not all kids, you know, are addicted to the screen time either, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things in the district I think that I was impressed with this year too, Sonia, was the screenless summer. I really liked that theme.
Yeah. They had the bingo cards where kids can do different activities and make sure that they are finding different ways to do it without the screens. So it was a good idea.
Most definitely. Betsy, fascinating conversation again today.
Yes, very, very, very good. Thank you three so much. I just wanted to make sure people know where they could get the book, and we partnered as part of our goal number one to increase collaboration in the community is the Richland County Children and Family Advocacy Council has purchased some additional copies with their work with the library. So there's five additional copies of the book there for people to pick up. And I also wanted to give people an idea of that Dr. Wright did. He recently went to the Boundary Waters, and so he listened to the book on audio. So if people are on vacations, if this works out for them, they can listen to it while they're driving, and it might spark some conversation. So really grateful for the knowledge and experience that these three brought today and about the book.
Partners for Prevention, do you have any thing planned in terms of the upcoming school year where you're going to have, like, maybe some information about
it? Yes, we've like got that? A lot of good things coming up, and our work is mainly focused on those environmental changes, policy changes, things that create an environment which steer kids in the right direction. And I really like what Maggie brought up in terms of collective action, because we really do want parents to come together and agree, like, this is something we should maybe try to work together on and tweak. And that goes to, you know, one of the policies that we're working to and to increase enforcement on and agreement on is a social host violation. We don't want private property owners hosting gatherings where kids can get alcohol. So that's a change, and if we can collectively agree that those guardrails are up, that will help in terms of long-term people developing substance use disorders. So other activities I wanted to mention, we're really excited about working with the city on the tobacco-free parks policy. We purchased some signs, and then we're working with the city and the parks department to get those signs up. That's an environmental change. We have the National Night Out coming up on August 5th from 5 to 8 at the fairgrounds. This is our fifth annual. We're encouraging people to sign up for the 5K. That starts at 5:30. We have five Richland County residents going to CADCA's mid-year training in Nashville this summer. Lizzie Forehand is the chaperone. Max Woodman, Bria Eggleston, Mason Meyer, and Ella Cairns are going. And this is one of our key strategies is to develop youth leaders that can help us implement changes such as tobacco-free parks that was entirely led by young people, recognizing a need and working through a long process of a change in a community. So they'll develop skills there. We want to thank the businesses that are passing the alcohol and tobacco compliance checks. Those are done twice a year. And we just really appreciate the environment where it's clear who should be using substances and who shouldn't be. We also want to thank our 12 sectors on the coalition that help to guide this process of community change. And then I think that's about it. Highlight National Night Out. Hope everybody comes out for that. We'll have Kiwanis there and the Lions Club and Rotary and other organizations serving food. There'll be the Tiny Acres is coming out with animals, and then there'll be 12 community organizations with tables, music. Mm-hmm. You and Gary will be out there and
we'll be doing our
music,
best.
Doing and announcing, and the 5K and Lydia Biba, Scott Gald, Billy Jones, Clay Porter, Lydia. I mentioned those are the committee that are those are the individuals on the committee that are planning this event, and we are trying to grow this to be the largest substance use free event in the county. So we hope everybody comes out and enjoys a great night.
Once again, what is the date, Betsy?
August 5th. Okay. So that's a Tuesday night, and it's not just in Richland County, but it's in the entire nation. It's an event that's been going on since 1973, started in Ohio as a partnership between law enforcement, first responders, fire, and EMS in communities where we work together to make a safer and healthier community.
We will have more about that coming up as it draws near.
Sounds good.
Thanks for all you do.
Oh, you're welcome.
You bet. Betsy Raisler from Partners for Prevention, also Maggie May, school psychologist here in the Richland District, along with Sonia Clarkson and Barb Olson, both educators in the Richland Center High School. And we'll have more coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show.
Attention Richland Center. Rockwell Automation is hiring second shift positions starting at over $24 an hour. What makes Rockwell different? 6 weeks of paid time off your first year, a $2,500 sign-on bonus, and benefits that start day one, not after 90 days. We offer a clean working environment, overtime opportunities, 401k with company match, and real paths for advancement. Rockwell Automation has been part of this community since 1971, and we're growing again. Visit rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center, or stop by any Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
When it comes to expert service on electric motors, starters, alternators, and magnetos, count on Chitwood Electric in Richland Center. Bob's your go-to guy. He also sharpens cow clipper blades and sells new electric motors and barn fans to keep your operation running smoothly. Stop by 215 South Jefferson Street or call 608-647-3317. For reliable service and quality products, it's Chitwood Electric, where Bob gets the job done right.
Amplify Health by Gunderson Basketball is proud to welcome family medicine physician Elizabeth White to our growing primary care team. With a special focus on pediatrics and women's health, Dr. White believes in meeting patients where they're at and matching medical plans with individual values and goals. Schedule your appointment with Dr. White in Basketball or Muscadet online through MyChart or call 375-4144.
What's the best place to shop this summer? Macy's. It's our first ever Star Deals Week. 6 full days of store-wide savings on everything you want. From shorts and swim to fine jewelry, all up to 50% off. Plus, home updates from Hotel Collection, Green Pan, and more, up to 60% off. Not only that, shop Macy's.com for new flash deals every day that everyone will love. No membership required. So don't miss Star Deals Week and Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics wants you to stay sun smart until the sun sets. Peak UV hours are between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the time when it is easiest to suffer sun damage. Make sure you schedule a yearly skin check with your provider and pay close attention to any spots you see that have changed or grown. If necessary, you can have a skin biopsy at the Richland Hospital and Clinics within 1 to 2 weeks of referral. Test results are back within 3 to 5 business days. Remember to wear your sunscreen.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side, you need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Get ready to sink your teeth into something delicious. The 3rd Annual Lions Club Rib Fest is happening Sunday, July 13th in Muscadet. It's hosted by the Avoca Blue River and Muscadet Lions Club. This mouth-watering event takes place at the Lions Shelter in Victoria Riverside Park from 11 until 2, or until sold out. For just $22, you'll enjoy a hearty slab of ribs from Soggy Bottom Barbecue of Lancaster, known all over Southwest Wisconsin for their unbeatable flavor. Every meal includes potato salad, coleslaw, beans, bread, and bottled water. Cold drinks are available at the food stand. Dine in or carry out, and while you're there, enjoy a beanbag toss, raffles, and